Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hump day.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yes.
Hey-o.
Another nice chill in the air this morning.
It was chilly.
37 again. My house when I left.
I did not check the thermometer.
37.
That is brisk.
Brisk.
That is,
Loved it.
Kind of a fine how do you do when you jump in the old.
A little crispness in the air, huh? Like it. Like it a lot. Don't like what's going on with these Bronco injuries, but, okay, I'll say it, next man up. And also, based on what we've seen from the offense the first couple of weeks,
mm-hmm.
Is it now fair to ask / demand more from Teddy Bridgewater in this offense? And I'm not saying this week. You get that.
Yeah.
But once they move into the meat of their schedule.
Yeah, well, once you move into the meat of your schedule, I mean, you should expect more.
Are they capable of it? And in what ways?
Yeah, I think, here, Mike, the biggest thing is, like, the relationship, you know, the symbiotic relationship between running the ball well and being able to design, you know, explosive plays in the play action game. And I'm not just talking about explosive plays in matchups. You know, a lot of times you get on, let's say you get on the left hash and you've got some type of 3-by-1 formation. You got a single receiver on the left side, which is your X receiver, right? A lot of times people will basically roll coverage to the opposite side. And you know, if you get a vertical release, you're going to get one-on-one coverage on the outside. So let's say that's Cortland Sutton. That's one way to create a 50-50 explosive, right? Can my guy beat your guy? You know, can he capture the red line on the 5 yards out of bounds and capture the red line, get beyond, and can we either throw a fade or throw a back shoulder, depending on how the DB plays it, right? So that's just a one-on-one. I like that matchup. That's where I'm going. I'm not even worried about the other side. That's the only thing I'm looking at. And so there's that. But then there is what I think really creates the bigger, like consistently easy throws for 20-plus yard chunks is all the stuff that comes off, you know, the adjunct plays that come off your run game. And if you're running it efficiently, man, it's amazing how many false steps and how many guys you can get out of position on the defensive side because why? Man, they're getting run through. And so for this offense to really take that next level step and to create some of those big explosives that turn into scores, you've got to run the ball better. You've got to be more consistent. And your runs can't be, Mike, they can't be, hey, that was a nice 8-yard run, but I broke 3 tackles. It should have been a 2-yarder. I broke 3 tackles and made a 7-yarder. Because that doesn't threaten the defense. That you're not sitting there going, hey, man, we have to constrict better. We've got to get there better. We got to do these things. That's not how it works. You're saying, man, we stopped the snot out of that thing. You know, we stuffed it.
Yeah.
We just got to tackle.
Right.
So you don't get the over-pursuit in the play-action game when that stuff happens.
So why aren't they running the ball better? What has to happen next for them to run the ball better?
Well,
because I think the running backs are doing their jobs.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. I think they have to block it up better up front. But I think again, Mike, again, tell me what you are. What are you?
What do you mean? In terms of how you're going to run the football? Or
yeah. What are you?
You mean, are you a power team? Are you a zone team?
Right. Are you a gap team? Are you a zone team? Are you a power team? Or what are you, right, how many practices? I probably went to almost all but three or four training camp practices.
Right.
Okay. I was there every day, pretty much. How much did you see of them being in two back sets during training camp? I mean, quite a bit, right? Mm-hmm. They're in a bunch of two-back sets, so they were running out of, you know, either I or they were running out of power sets, or they were running out of weak or strong formations where the fullback is up on the weak side or the fullback is up on the strong side. So that's, you know, if you've got one tight end and two backs, that's, you know, like you're sitting there saying, okay, strong right, right? Tight end would be the fullback would be on the side of the tight end, strong right, back in the, you know, back in dotted behind the quarterback, right? And then we flip it back and forth. And you saw a lot of zone stuff off of that. And then you can basically do split flow stuff. So you can go 18 and you can capture the backside with that fullback going across the formation. And now we're, you know, you're doing all these things. Then you open up Sunday, the first game of the season against the Giants, and your fullback's a healthy scratch. So all that stuff.
Has been for both games.
Yeah, all that stuff that you worked on in training camp that we saw a ton of. We're not going to do that. We're gonna base out of three wides.
So it comes back to Pat Shurmur not being able to truly give it up, huh?
But my point.
We were actually trying to throw incompletions.
My point is all that stuff that you worked on. First off, you split refs with your quarterback the whole time when, you know, anybody who really understood football knew that this guy, number five, gives you a much better chance to win.
Well, then wait, hold on, go back then. Why? Why do you do all this stuff during training camp and then not during the regular season? What would be the motivation? What's the answer? Because it doesn't seem to make sense to me. I'm sure anybody listening, doesn't make sense. So give me an inside football answer. Why?
Well, I mean, I would imagine, Mike, is if you're in those formations, it's easier on Drew Locke. I mean, that would be another theory to debunk all this. It was a charade from the start. They never wanted. If you're in all those formations in the preseason, and here's why. When you get into strong right or weak, you know, weak right, or you get into those 21 personnel groupings, you know what you're going to get? You're going to get single high. You know you play out of single high? Man or three. That's it. Now there's different variations of cover three, and there's like, but you're basically eliminating decisions from the quarterback position. So if you really want Drew to have success and you want him to get over the top and win that competition, it would make sense to put those formations together like they did at the end of the 2019 season with Wrinkles, where Drew played better. I'm just saying, all you can debunk all those, you know, ridiculous theories that you know, you hear people talk about all the time, that it was, you know, there was no real competition. No, there was a real competition because they adjusted the offense. It, you know, and this is me just theorizing here. Why else would you do it all camp and then say, okay, scrap all that, we're not going to do it anymore?
Coming up, Mark has seen a lot of the Jets on tape as he prepares for his game with the Patriots this week. What is he seeing from the Jets? Are they truly that bad? We'll find out next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
So this week, Mark is calling Saints at Patriots. First time you've done a New England game.
Correct.
Which means the first time you'll get a chance to talk to Darth Belichick himself.
Yes.
I can't wait to hear how that goes.
Oh, it's going to be great.
I mean, you think so?
Oh, you're
confident in that?
What, do you think Belichick doesn't like me or something?
I don't know. He's never dealt with you before in a media capacity, has he?
No. But he's going to love me.
Oh, he is.
Why would he not like me?
Oh, you just very quickly went from love to like.
No, but why would
he? Pretty soon it's going to be, why do you think he won't tolerate me? Why do you think he'll despise me?
right. Oh, oh gosh. Tell me I didn't do this wrong. Uh-oh.
What'd you do?
Today is Wednesday. Okay. No, because I'm getting somebody on, and they're like, hey, I'm ready. And I'm like, it's tomorrow.
It is tomorrow.
Right.
For a moment there,
you go back to bed.
Yeah,
go back to bed.
That's tomorrow's guest, everybody.
Yeah, that's tomorrow's guest. Go back to bed.
Okay.
Okay.
But he was ready to go now.
He'll be 24 hours early.
So when you hear him tomorrow, you'll be like, wow, this guy's eager. He was ready to go yesterday.
Right.
Mark told him to go back to bed. All right. So you get the Patriots. But in your terms of your preparation for the Patriots this week, you've been watching a lot of their game last week against the Jets, where they suffocated the Jets. Zach Wilson got picked off four times
in the first half.
I think, yeah, it was his first two passes got intercepted.
You are correct, sir.
Okay. So I know you're focusing on the Patriots, but what have you noticed about the Jets?
Struggling.
Yeah, well, that much is true. You know what? The Jets have played, for the most part, they've played, you know, pretty aggressive and good defense. And they're athletic. They're an athletic bunch. They've got Quinnen Williams is a really good player. They've got a good rotation. Shaq Lawson is actually playing good. You know, he's a former first rounder. You know, speaking of Bradley Chubb, sometimes you just need to go somewhere else, right? Shaq Lawson, I think, was a first rounder for the Buffalo Bills, had a couple of injuries, bounced around a little bit last year. He was in Houston. They traded him over to the Jets, and he's actually playing good football right now. It's like his...
Whatever he hits, he destroys.
Yeah. But, you know, again, no expectations over there. You know what I mean? No expectations because he wasn't their first rounder. So he had I remember him having a bunch of shoulder injuries. He came out with a shoulder issue. CJ Mosley, who has played like four games since 2019, yeah. He is flying around making plays. We know he's good. I think they've dramatically improved on the defensive side of the ball. So not that you have a lot of household names. They play pretty simple, Mike. Under Robert Saleh, they're going to play that match cover three like they do in San Francisco where he came from. There's going to be a smattering of other things, but for the most part, you know what you're going to get pretty much all the time. You're going to get one or three, single high safety, some type of safety rotation, whether it's down as a super buzzer or whether it's down as a hook player. That's what you're going to get. And so you're going into it understanding. And now they're assuming that they're going to be spot on and you're going to have to earn everything. You know, you're going to have to dink and dunk down the field and all that kind of stuff. But that is for sure you're getting that. Now, Zach Wilson can be streaky.
And before you get to the offense, just to back up what you're saying, through 2 weeks, it's early, but the Jets are ranked ninth overall in team defense.
Total defense,
ninth by comparison. The Broncos are third in the NFL in total defense. Broncos giving up 13 points per game. Jets giving up 22 points per game. So their defense isn't bad.
Right. Defense is not bad. And, you know, you're going to give up. I mean, to only give up 22 points a game when your quarterback throws four picks in the first half, you know, you're minus whatever you were. I'm trying to think back to week one.
Carolina lost 19-14.
Yeah. And Zach was really bad early and then he got really streaky late in the third quarter and the fourth quarter and he was really good. The issue, Mike, for me is he hasn't been protected very well. They're not very good up front. You should be able to put a lot of pressure on them. Becton is out. Now Fant is over there playing left tackle for them. And he just takes unnecessary chances, Mike. He's got arm arrogance, right?
He's a gunslinger.
Right. I just believe in my arm. And, that's a recipe for throwing picks. So that's, hey, last week, man, he made a couple of really just poor decisions. Really poor decisions. And they all happened to get picked off, like pretty much every one of them. He had a little boot keep out and he had a flat guy. It would have been a 4 yard gain because there was somebody rolled up, you know, underneath, but it would have been a 4 yard gain and you live to fight another day. Instead, he tries to take the, you know, 20-yard crossing route and layer it over a guy, and it gets tipped, and he gets picked. That's him.
Again, numbers, 2 weeks. Jets, 31st out of 32 teams in turnover differential at minus four. Broncos, who've been lousy in turnover margin the last couple of years, currently fourth best, tied for fourth best in the NFL. Tied for third best.
Well, I don't think
fourth best.
I know Teddy hasn't thrown an interception.
Plus two.
He hasn't thrown an interception. I don't think they put the ball on the ground, right? They put the ball. Oh, no, they did. They did. Alberto fumbled in week one. And Logan Ryan picked that fumble up on the sideline. Remember that?
Yeah.
So they must have three turnovers, one giveaway. I'm just off the top of my head.
Plus two.
That would make plus two. I did
good
the math
job.
Right there.
You good see how job. Good
I
job.
Had three that you took.
Good.
One that you gave away. Yep. And then I did. What I did is I put the three on the top, the one underneath it. I put that little line down there. And then I counted on my fingers, and it was two.
Good thing you didn't have to carry anything either.
No.
Or take it away.
Baron, you
always
struggle. Years.
Well, hey. Some might say that goes the other way. Ah, okay. Four down territory. Four down territory. How is Big Ben going to draw attention to his latest injury? We'll find out next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Is four down territory.
Madden is on the field. He wants to know if it's real. They said yes. Get your big butt out of here.
We're on to Cincinnati.
I'm here so I won't get fined.
You want to lose? I throw, you catch. It's not that hard, okay? All right, get the out of here.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
I'm going to push everything I can to get back to these games, and hopefully it's sooner rather than later, and my mindset is just going to be attacking 100% every day. When this thing's healed up, I expect to see a whole new Bradley Chubb, a whole new animal, a whole new dog. I feel like 2018 was like my last full year healthy, and I feel like when I get done with this, it's going to be 10 times that, and I'm really excited just to see everything that comes full circle.
Man, I hope so. I hope so, Bradley Chubb. I'm rooting for you, but I am just hugely skeptical. Three ACL injuries in his football career, now two different ankle surgeries. All this for a guy who plays at 270 pounds. I'm skeptical. Mark, are you hopeful that Bradley Chubb will eventually be able to be the player that the Broncos, and everybody in the NFL, by the way, projected when he went number five overall?
Am I holding out hope? Yes.
How realistic
Is
your hope? Put a percentage on.
It's not that realistic. I mean, your body, one thing I've learned about your body over the years of playing and the years of being injured, it's the greatest compensation machine that you will ever witness. So when something is wrong with your body will go into preservation mode to protect it. And you don't even realize it's subconscious. You don't even realize that you're putting extra stress on other parts of your body to compensate for whatever it ails you at the time. So when you have an ACL on one knee, the other side of your body is working overtime to help protect that knee, even though you don't think it. You don't even realize it. You don't know it. You had one ankle surgery in May. Guess what happens? Your body starts producing or starts making you play on the other leg 10 times more. Just even from a standing around standpoint, Mike, because I've had so much work done on my left knee, my right leg bears almost 100% of my weight when I'm standing. I always stand on one leg. I notice it all the time. It's subconscious. I don't even realize I'm doing it. It's just the way your body works. So do I have a lot of hope? I have hope. Realistically, I think you've seen the best of Bradley Chubb.
Next in four down territory.
Second down.
Uyavea is a fullback. Kleaxafe pass in the end zone. Pitch, diving catch. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Tommy to Gronky again. That's two today.
Tommy to Gronky.
Gronky? Tommy to Gronky? He's never been called Gronky.
There's that park, Gronky Park, right?
Gorky Park.
Really?
No, ladies and gentlemen.
No,
you got him.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No. Doesn't count.
Yes.
No way.
It does count.
down.
Oh, come on. Listen.
It does
again,
count.
With oh, you say I, so many things I that are stupid it. That I just...
I had it.
How am I supposed look to know whether or not you're trying to get me in a no, really, and how much is it you just saying dumb
things? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
No,
you,
no.
I got you.
I looked right at you.
I know.
I looked right at
that
you.
That was
and
the
like,
point.
And I'm like, it's not Gronky Park.
Yes.
No.
Exactly what I tried to get you on.
You didn't get me on.
I won.
Nope. Wrong.
I don't even know what we're talking about, but whatever it was, I got you. Let's move on. Yeah. I'm going to nail this, by the way.
I feel good.
I got you on a little bit. All right, here we go.
New York, London, Paris, Munich, everywhere I talk about music.
Well, okay. Gronky and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers showing up at number one on both power rankings at NFL.com and ESPN. Where do you think both places have the Broncos in their power rankings?
14, 15.
Very good. ESPN has them at 14, NFL.com at 13.
At 13. All right. There you go.
You think they should be higher?
No.
I mean, they're behind, you know, in both cases, they're behind 1-1 teams.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Green Bay, Dallas.
Yeah, but if you put those two teams against, you know, against the two opponents we played, I mean, I understand it. You're still a work in progress. By the way, the reason that counts is you know that that's a famous line from a Scorpions song. And you know I know 80s music.
It is from the Scorpions.
Okay. All right. Just admit it. Move
no,
on. You
no,
lost.
No.
Yes.
The reason we can't play O'Reilly anymore is because you just say so many
head-scratching
things.
This is from Richie, producer in the afternoon. That was absolutely, positively, 1,000% counts.
No,
end of story.
No,
thank you, Richie.
No
yep,
way.
It, of course it does. Move on.
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Next in Broncos territory.
Third down. The best way to figure out an identity is for the quarterback to play better. So that's what I need to do. So I'll work on me, getting myself ready to go and making better reads, better throws, and trying to put us in a situation to win a football game.
So Big Ben Roethlisberger has a pec injury. Now, one thing we know about Ben Roethlisberger, anytime he has an injury, he loves to draw attention to it. Who will ever forget the ankle injury that led to him to wearing a different cleat?
Yeah, like a size 18.
It looked like a clown shoe.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no other way around it.
Right.
It looked like a clown shoe. Hey, everybody, in case you were wondering, this is the ankle that is hurt. How do you think he's going to draw attention to this pec injury?
Nothing to see here. I've just got a horrible ankle injury. I'm surprised my leg is still attached.
Right. I don't know. You know, I was thinking about that. What do you do when you have a pec injury? You know, to draw attention to yourself.
I'm taking the shirt off.
Well, you could do that, but just taking the shirt off is not going to be enough.
It has to be something that says, look, everybody, this is where I'm hurt.
Right. It's my pec.
Right.
I would think that maybe you strap on one of them breast pumps.
A breast pump?
Yeah, you just strap it on there, and you walk in shirtless with a breast pump, and it's just going like battery. I don't know if you know this, but I've really hurt my pec, and I'm having this breast pump.
You want him to play this week wearing a breast pump?
I just want him to show up to work, you know? It's just going all the time. I don't know what they sound like.
Please stop.
Something like that, right? I hope my wife.
You'll hear about that.
Yeah.
Benny, can you find out what a breast pump sounds like?
That may be the single most unique thing ever said.
you can see what it looks like.
Right.
Right.
Can you find out what it sounds like?
Can you find out what a breast pump
sounds like? Alrighty then.
Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
Blitz pressure coming off the edge. Carr lobs it, man, wide open to the five. And Zay Jones makes the catch for a touchdown. And this time it is over in Las Vegas.
So, sad day for Raider Nation. And I mean this sincerely. Rob Rivera, co-founder of the iconic Black Hole, has passed away. Mark, when I bring up the Black Hole in Oakland, what kind of memories do you have?
Oh, yeah, Other than dispensing justice, because you went 11-1 against the Raiders.
Right. I loved going to Oakland back in the day and having them just cuss you out. And I still remember coming off the goal line, black hole right behind us. We're like probably on the 2-3 yard line. And this is probably 95 or 96, maybe 96. And Aaron Craver was our fullback. Remember Aaron Craver?
Sure.
So it was Aaron Craver and TD, and we're running, you know, 14, 15 handoff or whatever. We're running some, you know, tight zone play, coming off the goal line, just trying to get some breathing space. And as we snap the ball, Aaron takes a step, you know, could clear the quarterback because he's coming downhill. And all of a sudden, all you see on the screen is a beer can full. And, you know, it's got the spray because it's going ass over tea kettle around. And the spray is coming out the top. And it hits Aaron, like literally hits Aaron in the back. Full beer can. They used to throw batteries at us. I mean, I just loved going there. I had a guy once tell me, this is terrible, but it was funny, that he was going to murder me at the bus. When I was walking off the field, I was like, all right, see you there. He was literally so mad. He used the word murder, too. It wasn't like, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to murder you.
Yeah.
At the bus.
At the bus.
I said, all right, see you there.
Wow.
He didn't show to the bus.
That's like 3 o'clock high there.
Yeah, that's right.
You're like Ravel.
It could have been Buddy Ravel.
Buddy Ravel, yeah. All right. That'll do it for Four Down Territory.
You and me in a fight at 3 o'clock. And there is nothing you can do about it.
It'd be me at the bus.
Yes.
I'm going to murder you at the bus. All right. That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. Troy Rank will join us to answer the question, is this Broncos defense, minus now three starters, still a great defense? Troy Rank joins us next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
All right. Let's welcome in our Denver 7 insider, Troy Rank, presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. Morning, Troy.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Well, we're doing better than Bradley Chubb. So, you know, what are you looking at? What are realistic expectations for the return of Bradley Chubb?
Yeah, we'll know more after surgery this morning to have the bone spur removed from his right ankle. He had the left ankle, multiple bone spurs removed, so it's not identical. It's different in that this one should just involve the one, but until you get in there, Mark, you know this, you don't know. Based on how long it took him to return in May, you know, a realistic expectation is that half a season for him. I just don't know, because in May they weren't trying to ramp him up to get him to a certain point. I mean, they eased him into training camp for multiple weeks with his conditioning, but it's certainly a setback for Bradley. I texted with him briefly yesterday. He's frustrated. He hates that this is happening. He thought he could work through it, but you get to a point, and you guys have brought it up on the show. I mean, 70% of Bradley or 65%, it just doesn't work. And then he's in pain, and then he could cause another injury. So after consulting with specialists, they, you know, decided to have surgery. They tried to avoid this outcome. Now surgery, see where it stands. But yeah, he's going to miss significant time. There's no way around that.
You're talking about a large man who's had three ACL injuries in his football playing career, now two different ankle surgeries. And this is no fault of Bradley Chubb, but is it fair to say Bradley Chubb, the draft pick, is a bust? The draft pick is a bust.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously ties back into the Josh Allen selection. And if you think that Josh Allen would have developed linearly here, you know, in a linear fashion, the same as he did in Buffalo, then yeah, you see it as a bust. That's been my argument all along. They have not had the infrastructure in place, from front office to the coaching staff on down, to develop a young quarterback. So to sit here and say Josh Allen would have worked out, I'm not saying he wouldn't have, but the chances of it happening here were extremely less than in Buffalo, where he had the same coach, same coordinator, and the same plan for three straight years, where they did not have that here. But in that regard, if you look at it in relation to a quarterback, yes, fans will see that, and I understand that.
Well, I'm not even saying, I'm not even saying just vis-a-vis Troy, Josh Allen. I'm saying even, you know, Quentin Nelson. And I'm not even necessarily comparing Chubb to any of these guys. It's just,
when you pick a player at number five, it's with certain expectations. And my point is, he's never going to be able to meet those expectations anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that. I guess I see it a little differently when it's caused by injury. He made a Pro Bowl last year. He had 12 and a half sacks and nearly set the rookie record for sacks in 18. So the talent was there. You were right on it, but he's not healthy. And availability is a skill in the NFL. So ultimately, if he doesn't play enough games, yes, then that's how that pick will be viewed. But, you know, Solomon Thomas, guys you were taking early, Pharrell, the kid from Clemson, they just don't look like they fit in the league. That's different to me than a guy who clearly was one of the top players at his position when healthy. But that's a huge, you know, if, and Bradley's got to show he can stay healthy. I'm rooting for him. You know, I'm biased. I like Bradley. I like everything about him. It's frustrating for him that he can't stay healthy. And so I'm anxious to see if he gets this ankle stuff fixed, what will that look like? And I don't know the answer to that, but it is unfortunate that when he's been right, he's been really good, but he just has not been able to stay on the field long enough.
So you're going to be missing Jewel, Chubb, Darby. Does this defense have enough when the real schedule starts after this weekend? I mean, I understand yep. they're NFL teams, but we're talking Baltimore, we're talking Pittsburgh, we're talking Cleveland. I mean, it's going to start getting rough. Do they have enough to weather that storm until you get Chubb and Darby back?
I don't know. It's a simple answer. Justin Sternata is a remarkable talent, has real potential. He was second on the team in tackles last week. So I'm really intrigued by his potential, and he's just a high IQ guy who could pick things up quickly. But I don't know the answer to that. Darby, they're covered in a sense that Pat Surtain is just a unique, special talent. He's going to have some rocky moments, but they've never had a guy be able to come in for a starter like Pat Surtain. That's different. Chubb, they need help there. I mean, Malik Reed led them in sacks last year, but guys, they have 3 sacks this year, all by Von Miller. Mark knows this. Eventually, they're just going to slide everything over, and they're going to start chipping Von more than my windshield on I-25, and he's not going to get sacks. So somebody else is going to have to step up, whether that's Malik Reed, Jonathan Cooper, Mintz. One of these guys is going to have to prove a threat, because they're just going to get to the point where Von's not going to get sacks. They're just going to determine before the game, this guy's not getting sacked. So that concerns me, that they're not going to get enough consistent pressure. They got to figure that out. And I don't know what the Surtain at corner I feel comfortable with. Sternad, I love the guy and the potential. We did, like you said, Mark, we got to see that. What's that going to look like against Lamar Jackson? What's that going to look like against Big Ben on the road? That's a totally different assignment than playing rookie quarterback. So we're going to find out here in the next couple of weeks.
Hey, Troy, you know I always love to pick your brain about baseball stuff. I'm watching the Rockies give the Dodgers all they can handle last night and realizing that the Dodgers and Giants are both going to win over 100 games, yet one of them is going to have to play in a one-game, very precarious, winner-take-all, wild-card game. Is understanding that there used to be a time where one of these teams would miss the playoffs entirely, but what they have in place right now, is it good enough, the one game, or do they need to make it a series? Mark and I were debating that earlier.
What I would do, and they don't listen to me, what I would do is make it a 3-game situation where if they end up, the wild card teams play, the team with the best the record gets home field advantage, and the team with the worst record has to beat that team twice, the other team has to win once. So if it's, say, let's say it's Dodgers-Cardinals, the Cardinals would go to L.A., they'd have to beat the Dodgers twice, and it could ultimately be a 3-game series. Dodgers win one game, it's over. And you don't, as the second wildcard team, get a home game. And you don't get any chance, but it still allows a little elasticity that if the team with the better record, in this case the Dodgers, has one bad game, they could still advance. And I think that would be more fair, and it would, you know, allow them to stay home. But the Dodgers would tell you they're probably going to have Max Scherzer. So, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. Max Scherzer versus anyone in the league is a mismatch.
And actually, you're right with that? I actually kind of like that. Yeah. Then you don't have to travel back and forth. You know, you can do it in back-to-back-to-back days. Kind of like that. All right, Troy, man, we appreciate you, buddy. Have a good day.
You got it, guys. See you.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Insider, presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. So that passes for you?
I might have to sniff around a little bit on that. But, yeah, right now, the initial smell test, I'm like, It's okay.
It's kind of like what they're doing with this NBA play-in type thing, where if you're the best of the play-in seeds, mm-hmm. all you have to do is win one game and you're in. So you're rewarded that way. You don't have to win multiple games. So
yeah, you should have. There should the scales of justice should be tilted in your side a little bit if you have the better record, right?
You're fascinated by the scales of justice. That's the second time this in about a week that you've brought up the scales of justice.
Right.
Have you done a deep dive into the scales of justice?
No, I have not. But
Lady Liberty, not Lady Liberty. Lady Justice.
I loved the Justice League cartoon. Remember?
Sure.
All where they all just kind of hung out in their superhero outfits, lounging around, drinking coffee. They had slippers on, bathrobe over there.
The noise they would make. Remember the noise it would make? Meanwhile, back at the Hall of Justice.
Back at the Hall of Justice, Aquaman was gargling. You know? And then those two, then they introduced the two Wonder Twins. Yes. That's when it jumped the shark.
Exactly.
That's when.
Form up an eagle.
By the way, do you know, yesterday we made a big deal about how it was the 21st of September.
Yes.
Huge deal. Do you know what else happened on the 21st of September? I don't remember the year. It was like 1977 or something, but it also happened on the 21st of September.
Let me just think back to 77. Disco was big. I have no idea.
On
me. Hint.
This
is a guessing game.
Okay.
This is fun. Me hint.
Jumping the shark.
Something happy days. Something on happy days happened and it jumped the shark.
He actually jumped the shark.
Oh!
It was actually September 20th was the anniversary. September 20th, 1977 was when the Fonz
jumped the shark.
And he said on Twitter, these last couple of days, I still feel that in my shins. So he did that. That was not a stunt double. He did it.
Henry Winkler, national treasure.
He was wearing the leather jacket while he did it. Did it. He jumped the shark.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome.
Love it.
I was really worried about him that night.
Your whole thing just kind of lost steam there when you said it was the 21st.
I thought it was the 21st, but the 20th. Hey, same. It happened this
close.
Week. Relax.
They didn't, Earth, Wind, and Fire didn't go, on the 20th day of September.
You're right.
I was ruined.
You are right. So we're all confident, huh, that the Broncos defense is going to be just fine? No issues, nothing to see here? Next man up?
Yes.
You're good with all that?
Yep.
A defense that right now is ranked third overall in total defense in the NFL, you think will be able to... maintain that standing, even with now Darby's only out a couple weeks.
Darby should be back.
Jewel's out for the year, and realistically, give me a timetable. How long do you think Chubb will be out?
Chubb? What is this? Is September?
This is September. We just got done talking about the 21st day of September. Today's September 22nd. Yes, we did not suddenly jump to October.
Okay, so we've got all of October. That'd be, so we got another week left in September. Just doing math right now in my head. 4 weeks in October.
Yeah.
30 days has September. April, June, and November. All the rest have 31.
They actually play five games in October.
Six games in October.
Excuse me.
What?
Yep.
How is that even mathematically possible?
They play Sunday, October 3rd, the 10th, the 17th, the 21st, and the 31st. They have a Thursday night game in there.
They have a Halloween night game? That's spooky.
Against Washington. Against Woofed.
Woofed. The Washington Woofed. How do you say that nickname? The Woofed. That's great. I think the soonest he'll be back is second week in November.
Okay, so that's the Well, then if that's the point, don't even bother, because that's their last game before the bye. So if that's the case, then bring them back after the bye, Sunday, November 28th.
Wow.
That would mean he would miss 8 games. He'd be back Sunday, November 28th against the Chargers, which in theory would give him 7 games left to play the rest of the season.
Mm.
And if you think at that point you're still in the thick of things, then hey, that's a nice like a nice trade deadline move where you get a guy back.
Right.
That's better than any trade you're going to make. You get a guy back who has been diligent in his rehab, gaining strength, both ankles.
Yeah.
And you say, look, we're using that bye week as a real buffer, mm-hmm. and we're bringing you back that game after. And that gives us still 7 more games for you to come in and make an impact, and more importantly, 7 more games to decide just where do you fit in our long-term plans, if you fit.
Yeah, I think that's good. And anything that happens before that's a bonus, right?
This is KKFN, KKFN, HD1 Longmont, Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.